Amen. 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 Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Taylor's Tabernacle. This is another Sunday that the Lord has made. Amen. Amen. We'd like to welcome everybody who's participating via Facebook and YouTube Live. And for those that are here this morning in the sanctuary, amen. We are glad that you could join us. For yet another Sunday that we could hear and glorify our Lord, right? We can hear His word and we can glorify His name. Amen. Now this is the first Sunday of the month because the first was on a Monday. So this is our communion Sunday. So in your own household, we ask that you would make sure you have the items that you have prayed over and consecrated for the taking of the communion when the pastor comes out to lead us. Amen. 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 And we're going to go right into our communion service. I'm giving you a second to get yourselves together at home. And what we're going to do is I'm going to read our scripture that we read for every communion. I would ask that at home, if you would also stand with us as we are in the sanctuary to honor the reading of God's word. Amen, amen, and amen. So I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we read from the Contemporary English Version, but it reads as follows. I have already told you what the Lord Jesus did on the night he was betrayed. And it came from the Lord himself. He took some bread in his hands. Then after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Eat this and remember me. After the meal, Jesus took a cup of wine in his hands and said, this is my blood, and with it God makes his new agreement with you. Drink this and remember me. The Lord meant that when you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you will tell about his death until he comes. But if you eat the bread and drink the wine in a way that isn't worthy of the Lord, you sin against his body and blood. That is why you must examine the way you eat and drink. If you fail to understand that you are the body of the Lord, you will condemn yourselves by the way you eat and drink. That is why many of you are sick and weak, and why a lot of others have died. If we carefully judge ourselves, we won't be punished. But when the Lord judges and punishes us, he does it to keep us from being condemned with the rest of the world. My dear friends, you should wait until everyone gets there before you start eating. If you really are hungry, you can eat at home. Then you won't condemn yourselves when you meet together. After I arrive, I will instruct you about the other matters. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to call up Deaconess Helena Weiss. She is going to lead us in our confession of faith.
Good morning. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry. And we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. Now before we bring the pastor out, I'm going to pray over the sacraments. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this first Sunday of the month. For you said, this do in remembrance of me. But Lord, we ask that you would forgive us our sins and sanctify us to receive you, to receive your body, to receive your shed blood. Lord, we ask that you would anoint these sacraments, that we would receive them and receive you, Christ Jesus. That we would be worthy to be in your presence because of your transformation in us. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for allowing us to commune with us for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to bring up to the pulpit our pastor, Jonathan E. Ford. Amen.
Good morning and God bless you, Taylor. We're going to ask that you would get your sacraments in hand. Those of you that are here with us here in the sanctuary, you receive them as you entered. Those that are home, whatever you have set aside or consecrated for this purpose, the purpose of Holy Communion, remembering the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to remove that top layer and take out the bread. Whether you have a cracker, you have the wafer here in the sanctuary, maybe you've actually set aside some bread, whatever you have, again, consecrated for this purpose of Holy Communion. I'm going to ask that you lift it up. On the night Jesus was betrayed, the Bible says he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. And I say to you to do the same." Now we're going to prepare the grape juice. So again, if you can just peel back the aluminum covering. Whatever you have prepared at home, grape juice, apple juice, water. It was during that same Passover that Christ took the cup of thanksgiving, the Passover. He lifted it up and he said to his disciples, "This now represents the new agreement between you and God. This is his blood, which on that night he would share for the remission of our sins." He told his disciples, "Drink ye all of it, and in like manner I tell you the same." Well, thank God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. We thank you for the name that now abides with Christ, a name that is greater and higher than any other name. And it is in that name that we place our trust, our hope, and our confidence that even as this body withers and perishes and goes away, we know that we have a new body, prepared for a new home in your presence. And so we thank you for this Holy Communion as a symbolic foretaste of the marriage supper of the Lamb that will take place in heaven in your kingdom. And so we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, all of God's people say amen, amen, and amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary and in your homes. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am so glad to be here. I'm so glad to be alive and well. So glad that I can see and hear and taste, touch and smell. And I'm so glad that I feel the Spirit of the Lord God dwelling richly in my soul. Amen. I just want to start by thanking everyone for your participation in our time of fasting on last week. Thank you to all who participated in the fasting for the 12 hours each day. Special thank you to our fasting leaders, Reverend Radcliffe and Deaconess Radcliffe. They did a great job in setting an example by which we will be following every first week of the month during 2020. So thank you again for that. And again, I hope you are feeling stronger spiritually. I hope you are feeling closer to God spiritually as a result of your fasting. I also want to say thank you to everyone who have given so generously in response to our request to help the homeless. The bags of clothes have been pouring in all through the week and over the weekend. Thank you for your generosity and your liberality in giving. Even while I was driving down to the church this morning, I saw a homeless man out on the street sitting on top of a vent trying to stay warm. And I just said, I thank God that we responded. Not only did we responded quickly. Look, it's snowing today, not when you get down in your basement next week or that. No, today. People are cold and hungry today. And so I thank you for your quick and generous response to that request. Amen. I also want to thank all of those who have already started giving towards our campaign to rebuild and renovate 6048 Osage Avenue. Thank you for already increasing your giving, getting your seed in the ground. We thank you for the momentum that you have built up in this campaign with your generosity. So thank you for that. Those who have not, we encourage you to do so. The summer will be here before you know it. Amen. Now, I do want to make this announcement for the entire church. As we made mention on last week, we lost the life of baby Amir last Sunday. Shortly after the close of service, his life was taken up to heaven. And on this Friday, February 12th, at the Christ of Calvary, right down the street here at 61st and Larchwood, we will celebrate his life. The funeral service will begin, the viewing will begin at 9 a.m., and the service will begin at 10 a.m. So for all of those who are able to come and to help celebrate his life, again, this Friday, February 12th, Christ of Calvary Church, 9 a.m. for the viewing, 10 a.m. for the service. I am going to ask the church family and the Christian community, let's pray for the mother, Tahira Muhammad. Let's lift her and her family and her other, she had other children, brothers and sisters for baby Amir. Let's keep her and her family in prayer. Let's also keep the Davis family in prayer, as you have been all week. They'll need your support this week and beyond. Amen. So let's continue to pray for them. Now we'll turn our attention towards the Word of God. I'm going to invite you to go with me to the Gospel of St. Mark, the very first chapter. We're going to look at verses 9 through 14. This morning we'll be in the New Testament, the Gospel of St. Mark, the very first chapter. We're going to be reading verses 9 through 13. I'm going to ask you to add to the witness out of the Gospel of St. Matthew as well, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. You might have in your hand a different translation or in your Bible or your iPad or whatever you may be using for the gospel this morning. But again, the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 1, verse 9 through 13. And we'll add to the witness out of St. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Amen. If you have it, you'll see these words. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan and was with wild beasts. And the angels ministered to him. Now, if we just flip over to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. He said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus replied to him and said, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan." Jesus knows how to talk to the devil. "For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Our subject this morning is tools for fighting temptation. Tools for fighting temptation. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to gather together as your children, huddled around the Word of God. We believe that in your Word there is life, there is hope, there is liberty, there is healing, there is peace, there is joy, there is mercy, there is love emanating out of the Word of God and in to the people who are called by His name. And so we thank you this Sunday morning for your great faithfulness meeting us here, meeting us in our homes, meeting our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so we praise you and we exalt your name. And we make ourselves ready now to hear, to receive the life-changing word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. We thank you in advance for what you will do. Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the church and in your home, whether you're seated in a recliner, a sofa, maybe you have a Sealy perfect mattress that you are taking advantage of. You may even have one, two, or on a morning like this, three pillows by your side. However you are joining us, may the Lord bless you. 1 Peter 4:1 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, to arm yourself with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. As I said, I want to talk to you this morning, and I also want to give to you tools for fighting temptation. Tools for fighting temptation, because even as Christ was tempted, so are we. Just as Christ has suffered in the flesh, he said what? Arm yourself likewise. But not only will we be under the same attack, we can also achieve the same victory if we are armed with the same tools that Jesus was armed with when he also was tempted by the devil. Amen. To our primary text, Mark 1, 10 and 11, immediately coming up from the water, talking of Jesus' baptism, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. A voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Okay? Starting right out, I'm going to give you the tools right up front. Amen? I'm giving you the tools right up front, and they are found right there in this scene of Jesus' baptism. Okay? First thing we notice is that it says, and he saw the heavens parted. Your translation may say, he saw the heavens open. Okay? The first tool you need is the ability to see clearly. If you're going to fight and win temptation, you must be able to see clearly. And in order for you to see clearly, you need to have the heavens opened. Are you with me? It also says there that there was a witness to the fact that they saw the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. The second tool you need to fight temptation is you need to be led spiritually by the Holy Spirit. You need to be led spiritually by the Holy Ghost. You're not going to win the battle of temptation if you're not following the Holy Ghost. Then it concludes there by saying, then a voice came from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The third and final tool you're going to need to fight temptation is you need the ability to hear correctly. You must be able to hear correctly. You notice that before Jesus goes into the wilderness at his baptism, he is armed or equipped with these vital tools. Are you with me? I see Deacon Norm here. I was talking with Deacon Norm yesterday, and he was telling me about his adventures in car repair. And as he went on and on and repairing his cars, changing the different things, the belts and all that stuff that he was getting done, he finally said, I finally ran into something that for what needed to be done, I realized I no longer had the tools to do it. I was trying to do everything I could myself. That way I don't have to take it to the repairman and be subject to whatever he wants to charge me. I had tools at my house and I was doing what I could myself. But I finally ran into something that in order to get it done, it required a tool I didn't have. You follow what I'm saying? So it's, there's some stuff, if you don't have the proper tool, doesn't matter how much knowledge you have, doesn't matter how much help you have. If you don't have the right tool for the job, are you with me this Sunday? Verse 12 says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. If you're taking down notes, jot this down. The wilderness is not optional. The wilderness is not, Jesus never gets to the cross without first going through the wilderness. He doesn't get there. The Bible said that immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Okay? So just jot it down. The wilderness is not, so you don't need to pray to God, Lord, keep me from the wilderness. Lord, show me a detour around the wilderness is a part of your life's journey. The wilderness is a part of my life. But I'm grateful and thanks be to God that even though we have to go through the wilderness, thankfully God has equipped us before the wilderness. I wish I had my real church. I'm almost finished. Verse 13, it said he was there in the wilderness 40 days. The wilderness is a season. It's not a moment. It's not an hour. You're going to spend some time in the wilderness. It may be 4 hours, 4 days, 40 days, maybe 40 weeks, but you're going to be there a while. Again, underscoring the importance of having the what? Proper tools. Right. So you can work your way out of it. He was there 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Temptation often comes while we are in the wilderness. Now that is not an exclusive statement, but it most often occurs while we're in the wilderness. Why? Because in the wilderness, you're weak. In the wilderness, you've gone without food. In the wilderness, you've gone without something you're used to. In the wilderness, you're not in a situation you like. In the wilderness, you're not around people you like. In the wilderness, you may not have things going the way you like. By the way, that's what makes it the wilderness, right? Right? Instead of having the people you want around you, you're surrounded by wild beasts. Why? It's the wilderness. Touch them, I say, because it's the wilderness. But the Bible says, regardless of whether you're in the wilderness or out of the wilderness, the book says, yield not to temptation. Why? Because yielding is sin. We are often our weakest while we're in the wilderness. So let's take a look at what happens to Jesus in the wilderness. Matthew 4 recounts for us. It says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad we had that fast, because some of you are on your way in to the wilderness. But luckily you spent some time with God prior to, whatever, I'm finished. Let me not start nothing. For, and after he was hungry, and now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because Jesus had opened heavens, he could see clearly. And as a result, he responds to temptation properly, saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Wherever you are, touch your eyes this morning and pray this prayer with me. Lord, please give me open heavens so I can see clearly. That's what I want. That's what I'm going to need if I'm going to make it through my wilderness. John 5:19 says this, Jesus talking with the Pharisees, he says, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but whatever he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, meaning the Father, the Son also does in like manner. Are you with me? Jesus said, I can only do, watch this, what I see my Father do. And so if I don't have open, if I don't have open heavens, then my eyesight is limited and I cannot see what my Father is doing. Lord, anoint my eyes. Lord, above my head, give me open heavens so I can see what you are doing. Jesus said, for whatever the, he said, I can only do what I see my Father do. And we need to be able to see clearly. Picking up at verse 5, and then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him up on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, all right now, if you're really the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he gives his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against the stone, for they shall bear you up. You are the Son of God. Throw yourself down. Satan is tempting him to show off. He's tempting him to show off. He's tempting him to show the world how important Jesus is. That's what he's tempting him. Look, come up here and just jump off, because you have angels at your disposal. And if they see the Son of God falling, they will come and rescue you. It's a show-off spirit. That's what it is. Because Jesus was filled with and led by the Spirit of God, he responds to temptation properly, saying, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Cover your heart and pray this prayer with me. Lord, help me
not to think of myself more highly than I ought to think. But help me to think soberly according to the measure of faith God has given me. You know when we don't follow the Spirit? We never follow the Spirit when we're following our own lead. As long as you got your own advice, your own agenda, your own answer, your own wisdom, you never follow the Holy Spirit. You're not led of the Spirit, you're led of your flesh. You're led of your own pride, your own ambition. That's why it's so important. Not only if you're going to avoid temptation, you must be led by the Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. That your enemy is smart. Why? He only tempts you with stuff you like. Right? For some of you guys, he would never tempt you with chocolate cake. Because half of you are allergic to it. But when it comes to me, chocolate, German chocolate, double, you follow what I'm saying? He got it laid out for me. Why? Because he knows I'm drawn to that. And if I'm following my flesh, my own advice, my own wisdom, trust me, I will come up with some kind of excuse to take a slice out of each. That's why you need to be led of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me in this? I told you last week that if you're going to do John's job, you're going to need John's clothes. Outwardly, John's clothes was camel's hair and a leather belt. But inwardly, John's clothes was humility and the Holy Ghost. And I know a lot of you are glad to see me in pastoral attire this Sunday. Half of you guys tuned in just to see what I was going to wear. They say if that guy comes out with sheep clothing or something else, I don't know what we're going to do with the pastor. Here it is, the third temptation there in verse 8 in Matthew. You see it. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Satan is tempting him with selfish ambition and human pride. But because Jesus had an audible connection with the Father and could hear correctly, he responds to temptation properly. Devil, you got it wrong. Look, devil, you got it wrong. The only one that we are to worship is the Lord your God, and him only are we called to serve. Look, help me. Touch your ears and pray this prayer. Lord, please give me ears to hear so I can hear you correctly. This is what Jesus said about hearing. He said, "My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow." I don't know if you realize this, but there are many voices speaking to you. We live in a day and age where everybody's got something to say about everything, not just in the world, but in your life. They got a comment about it, a tweet about it, a note about it, a prophecy about it. And if you don't have an audible connection with God, you won't be able to distinguish his voice. You won't know when he's talking. You won't know when he's not talking. The Bible said when he came up, there came a voice from heaven, an audible sound. You were fasting in the spirit. You should have heard something in your spirit last week. A voice from heaven. Are you with me this Sunday? My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. Here it is. I'm out of time. Let me close by reminding you what James 1:12 says. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Endureth, goes with it, goes through it, gets on the other side. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. In order for you to endure temptation, you've got to be equipped with the proper tools. That's my job this morning, to outfit you, to gear you up, so that you can go into the wilderness, so that you can go through the wilderness, and come out on the other side rejoicing. Rejoicing, why? You'll know that there is a crown of life set aside for you. And so I thank God for the tools to fight and to win against temptation. But we not only have tools for temptation, but we also have a great example of victory over temptation by Jesus Christ, our Lord. And because he proved victorious over temptation, the Philippian writer tells us that wherefore God has highly exalted him. Because he endured temptation, he has given him a name which is above every name. Because he endured temptation, God said that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Things in heaven and things in the earth, even things under the earth. And because he endured temptation, he said that every tongue shall, will, must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I've got tools to handle temptation. I'm glad I've got something that I can use to fight the devil. I'm glad that I've got something in my toolbox that I can use. Away, Satan, get thee behind me. I've got the victory through and by Christ Jesus. Somebody shout yes. Look at your neighbor and tell him you can win. You shall win. You're able to win. Not in your own strength, not in your own might, but use the tools that God has given you, the same tools that he gave to his only begotten, the same tools he now gives unto you. You can, you shall have the victory. victory. Somebody shout yes. This is the year. This is the year to fight and win over temptation. Everybody asking me, Pastor, why we got to fast every first week of the month? We usually just do it once a year. I believe we're doing it because many of us are getting ready to face a wilderness experience. And God, by His Spirit, is preparing us now. Clean out your ears so that you can hear correctly. Get under an open heaven so that you can see Him clearly. Get your spirit life tuned back up so you can be led by the Holy Spirit. Why? The wilderness is coming. When I think of that, I'm reminded. I'm done with the sermon. But I'm reminded. I know we got a lot of Game of Thrones fans out there. And there was no statement made more popular than that said by Jon Snow. And that's what? Winter is what? Winter is coming. All throughout the series, winter is coming. I mean, it's a certainty. And just like winter comes, so does the wilderness. So now is the time to prepare. Now is the time to arm yourself properly so that you can respond to temptation. And if you do it God's way, He has already promised you to give you the victory. And His word said there will be a crown laid up for you. Why? Because you endured temptation. Because you didn't faint. Because you didn't quit. Because you didn't fall out. Because you didn't throw in the towel. But you kept using the tools. Way by and by, the book said the angels came and ministered to him. All you got to do is hang in there. Help is on the way. Help is on its way from on high. Use the tools until help arrives. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen, 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 amen. Thought my microphone was on and I guess it was not. Amen, amen. For those of you that are watching this that are seeking salvation and, you hear this sermon and you want to figure out how do I develop this relationship with the Lord? Well, the first thing that you must do is confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart. And it's seeking salvation first and then letting Christ lead you. So there's a sample prayer we've read before, but I want to read it to you now. If you're at home and you're seeking Christ and you're seeking direction and you want to understand more, if you would just say these words, Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that His shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me from my sins today. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer of repentance, you would be saved. And then what we want to do here as a church, as a body of believers, is help you start on that walk with the Lord. Amen. So there's a couple ways to reach us.
First, you can always go out to the church website, www.taylorstabernacle.com. You can go to the link, the contact us page, and check the box that says, I am interested in becoming a Christian, and leave a short message along with your contact information, and someone from the church will reach out for you, someone from our leadership. Also, you can call our church line at 215-748-4578 and leave a message. And again, someone from the church leadership will reach out to you. Similarly, if you have a prayer request, please visit our website at www.taylortabernacle.com and find our prayer request page, or call our church at the number I gave before, which is 215-748-4578, and we will reach out to you. Now, there's one other thing I want to give you before we move forward. Well, two things. One, and I'm not coming behind the word, but I just wanted to, it was just interesting, as the pastor was preaching, all I could think about was that show that was on Discovery with Bear Grylls, where he would get dropped in the woods, and you would watch this show, and he, what to us was, we're stuck in the woods, he made tools and fire out of all kinds of stuff. And so, as we walk with the Lord, as you listen to the pastor's sermon, I'm sure the very same scripture that you read before, you didn't see the message that he was anointed with today. So reach out, because this is God preparing us through our pastor for whatever we have to deal with, so that we see tools we did not see before by seeing God opening our eyes. Amen? Amen. Now, there's one thing that my wife reminded me, she made sure that I wanted to announce, which is February is Black History Month. So therefore, each Sunday, I'm going to give, or someone else would give, a Black History fact. Sorry, I don't have Kungas today, because I was going to hit the little Kungas right here. But Black History Month, the whole celebration of Black History Month began as Negro History Week, which was created on February 7th, 1926, by Carter G. Woodson. And it says here he's a noted African-American historian. If you've taken a Black history class, you hear about Carter G. Woodson. He was a scholar, an educator, and he also published several books. And Negro History Week became a month-long celebration in 1976. Now, the month of February was chosen to coincide with the birthdays of Frederick Douglass on February 14th, 1817, and Abraham Lincoln on February 12th, 1809. And that's important, because every comedian always says it's February because it's the shortest month, so that they can cut us out of some days. No, there was a reason why February was chosen as Black History Month. So let us all celebrate our history, which has gone from Negro History Week. I'm sure at one point it was probably Colored History Week. Then it now is Black History Month. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to check with the pastor, because it has here that he's going to do the announcements. Would you like to do that, or want me to go to offering? Okay. Okay, something different is on here. So let us move to offering. So good morning, everybody. We're going to go through the offering. There are three ways that you can provide your offering to the church. First, you can do it by text message. You would text the code TAYLOR61. TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. And you will receive a link when you do that and instructions on how to make your offering. Amen. A second way to give is through our website. Please go to www.taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions on the website. Also, you may give by U.S. mail, where you may send a check or a money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139, so that you would send it to the church P.O. Box and not here to the church proper. Finally, if you are here today joining us in the sanctuary, by the door that we exit at the end of service, by the ramp, there's an offering basket for tithes and offering, and a basket for our speaker's offering, so we can be a blessing to the pastor for giving us this word. Amen? Amen. We thank you for your continued support in the operation of the church and in getting the house together through your giving. Amen?
want to do some of the announcements now. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us in the reopening of the church. As you know, we are having services in the church versus in our homes. We have to follow the limitations set forth by the city so that there is at most 10 people that are allowed here in the sanctuary during the service. And then we've got room on the third floor for 12, and we have the TV in operation up there. So if you want to join us, please come down. However, if you have someone in your family or someone you've been around that is not feeling well, where there's a suspicion of COVID, please stay at home. Check your temperature before you leave your home. If you're running a fever, we know that can be one of the symptoms. Just stay at home. Not that we want to exclude you, but that as we love one another as ourselves, we don't want to give anything to anyone else. Amen? Amen. There's no prayer or Bible study during this month of February, and it's because we have some other wonderful activities in store. Amen? This Friday, February 12th, the Marriage Ministry is hosting a pre-Valentine's mixer at 7 p.m., and that'll be via Zoom. Please contact Deacon Aaron and Sister Marcy Abrams to register. They also may have reached out to you with a text. I had too many thoughts going at once, but I did Deacon Aaron and Sister Marcy. So reach out to them. February 17th is Ash Wednesday. There will be no service that day. Normally we would come here, but we will not have that this year. Friday, February 19th, the Young Life Ministry will host a family game night. That'll be at 7:30 p.m. via Zoom. Psalms 133:1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." So, young folks, let's join up and dwell together in unity. Amen. For further details, please reach out to Deaconess Kamila Lyons, Deaconess Helena Weiss, or my wife, Sister Cassandra McCoy. Amen. Friday, February 26th. See, we got all these good things happening on Fridays. The Singles Ministry will host at 7 p.m. via Zoom an activity. For that, please reach out to Sister Shanita Scott with your questions. This event will be for all unmarried adults, which include those who have never been married, widows, widowers, and divorcees. Amen. Once again, I just want to remind, if you have a prayer request, someone you want to pray for, please make sure that you either go to the church's website, I'll give it to you again, www.taylortabernacle.com, and go to the prayer request page area, or contact the church at 215-748-4578. Amen. Amen. Now that I have done almost as talking as our, much talking as our great leader, I'm going to call him back so that he may close us out. Amen.
Again, amen, and God bless you. Before we have the benediction, I do want to recognize and thank a couple of people. One, I want to thank Robert Weiss and Tyrone Davis for coming and shoveling this week. That's right. Look at all the men are clapping. Yes, yes. Glad they came. Lord, that saved us gas money, backs, legs, hips, everything. They saved us. But yeah, they came, and after that first storm, they really got down here. When I came down here, the church was clean, sidewalks wide open. So thank you for caring about the church and seeing to it. I also want to thank the men that are here today. Now that the broadcast is over, we got to get out here and see what we got to do before we can leave. So I thank the men for coming today. And also want to thank those who are here and took responsibility for getting the broadcast on. I've received, and I was surprised by this, but a number of folks reached out to see if we were still having it as an indication. They've gotten used to the broadcast being on at 10. They've set their clock. They've set their Sunday. Hey, we want to see the broadcast. And so I want to say a special thank you to all of the people here who come and made the commitment to get the broadcast on the air for you. I appreciate your service and your commitment to the ministry. Now that we've said that, shall we all rise? Now unto the God of peace, and now unto the Son that is soon to return. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your abiding presence here, not only in the sanctuary, but in our heart and in our lives. Bless us so that we can be a blessing. Strengthen us that we might be strong and able to help those that are weak. Encourage us throughout the incoming week that we might lift up the name of Jesus. Help us not to lose what we have gained. Help us not to fall back from where we have advanced, but help us to stand strong in the name and in the might of our Lord and Savior. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone in Taylor Nation say amen, amen, amen again. God bless you, Taylor.